Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come together in these moments, encounter us with your grace and peace. Envelop us with your wisdom. Lord God, empower us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. After we hear the gospel every week, the person who is reading will say, "The gospel of the Lord," and we say, "Praise to you, O Christ." And sometimes I wonder if we're saying that out of rote, because if we really were listening to what was just said, would we really say, "Praise to you, O Christ"? And this week is one of those times. My grandfather passed away when I was 15 years old. Ed Young was near and dear to my heart. He was a choir director at Union Lutheran Church for 30 years after coming to the Lutheran Church after being a Baptist. And he went to his Baptist church. My grandmother, staunch German Lutheran that she was, went to the Lutheran church, and my father and my aunt both went with her, as it was the custom. But granddaddy always went to the Baptist church. And one Sunday, after they were eating lunch together, my aunt looked at my grandfather and she said, "Daddy," she was probably about 4 or 5 at the time, "Daddy, there's a space this big beside me in the pew for you." Well, as a father, it warmed his heart. That day he went and left the Baptist church, walked over and went to the Lutheran church and started taking catechism classes to become a Lutheran. He eventually became the choir director there, and he and my grandmother are buried there at Union Lutheran Church. Dear, dear influence in my dad's life and certainly in mine. Well, when he died, my father and I, at the end of the funeral, did something that was pretty powerful to a young 15-year-old. You see, after everybody had left and we had done the funeral and we had done the graveside and everybody left, my dad grabbed me by the back of the neck as I was walking off. He said, "No, stay here, son." And I did. And everybody left except the guys from the funeral home. And so he said, "Come on, son, we're going to bury your granddad." And so my dad and I stood there for about an hour with our shovels doing that. And so when Jesus says, "Let the dead bury your own dead," I don't know how I hear that, especially after the powerful experience I had of burying my grandfather, a man who had shaped our life and our faith in Christ in such a deep way. You see, we've talked about how is Christ your priority, your authority, your identity, your unity. We've talked about all those things that Christ is. We'll follow up, we'll close out our six-week series next week by talking about how Christ is our reality. But let me tell you, one of the things that is a reality if we're following Jesus is that he is going to be our difficulty as well. When we hear lessons like we've heard today from Galatians, and the laundry list of things that will keep you from inheriting the kingdom of God, friends, I'm on that list. I'm not going to tell you which ones. Well, the ones that aren't so bad. Okay, the ones that aren't so bad. I've gotten angry before. I've been jealous. I've had quarrels. I've had been part of factions and dissensions. You know? Those are all things that when I hear this message from Paul, it's one that I don't like to hear. And then I hear this lesson from Jesus. And I hear Jesus talking in this way about how you can't look, anybody that looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. You know, one of the interesting things that we were able to do at confirmation camp last week was that we read through the whole Gospel of Luke. And it was really interesting to see how the youth saw this picture of Jesus emerging that wasn't quite the Sunday school picture that they had always had. Suddenly, Jesus is one who actually would get angry. Does this keep him from the kingdom of heaven, I wonder? Here is Jesus starting quarrels. Here is Jesus, you know, being very forthright in what he's saying it means to follow him. And oftentimes, he is calling us to things that we do not want to do. And so I'd submit to you this morning that part of walking the path of faithfulness is reading those pieces of Scripture that make you go, and asking, what does that mean? How might the Scriptures that cause me difficulty, which may or may not be the same Scriptures for you, allow us to examine how is God speaking to me in my life? Because make no mistake, He is, and He does, in a very real way. We often use the image of Christians as being pilgrims on a journey. You know, and a pilgrimage is always something that knows what its ultimate destination is. And indeed, as Christian people, we are walking this pilgrimage to eventually be in heaven, but we're walking this pilgrimage of faithfulness to getting closer to Him. And I think that's an apt, right image. However, recently I've read about another image which I think is just as apt and right. And it is the image of Christians not only being pilgrims, but perhaps better said, Christians are nomads. Nomads. I had to wrap my head around that one for a second. Because nomads are people who don't really know where they're going. But in a very real way, in following Jesus, while in the macro sense, we do know where we're going, in the micro sense, in the daily living of our lives, perhaps we don't always know. I didn't know last week that my wife was going to break her leg. Perhaps you didn't know 2 years ago that you were going to be diagnosed with cancer or lose your job or your child was going to go through a divorce or was going to get cancer themselves. Or perhaps you didn't know what was going to happen in the life of the economy of our local economy or our nation. Perhaps you didn't know what things were going to happen. And the reality is we don't. We don't. We don't always know that perfect path that we've set out for ourselves. And so following Christ as nomads might mean that we are walking in faith and trust and getting to places that are then blessed and that are holy. So as I walk down my path and I think it's going to go this way and it turns instead this way, where is God there? And how is God blessing that? And how is God redeeming that? And how is God healing that? And how is God challenging that? And how is God saving that? As we walk with Christ, as you walk with Jesus, the only thing that you know for sure is that there will be times that will make you unsure. There will be moments that will cause you pain and hurt and suffering. But the good news, the powerful news that Jesus says, is that in our scripture today, all these things that Jesus is saying is really explained in this way. Jesus is very urgent about what it means to set his face to Jerusalem. Where the Samaritans were people that, while society had shunned them, he himself had been rather generous to the Samaritans. Yet here he is, because he had set his face to Jerusalem, which means because he had set his face towards going to the cross and to his passion. Everything else, as important as it was to the side. And that meant family and community and saying goodbye and burying dead and doing all of these things that are right and true and faithful and meaningful and loving in almost every circumstance. For Jesus, those things all took to the side because he is going one place. He is going to the cross. And why that is so vital for him is because by doing so, by entering that pain, by entering that suffering, by going through all of that on our behalf, by taking away the power of sin and death over us, then that means that when we are living our nomadic existence as followers of Christ, as we are experiencing things that we can't even dream that we're going to experience, as we're going through different things that are causing us to struggle and have pain, then we know that because our God has experienced that, because our God has lived that, because our God has chosen that, then He's chosen to be with you and me in the midst of that as well. And that we can know and trust that we will be seen through, that our nomadic experiences of life will be blessed and redeemed and saved. So when Jesus, when you're reading Scripture, and Jesus says something that makes you roll your eyes a bit, when it makes you go, huh, I don't know if I like that, then perhaps that's something good. And instead of just looking past it, maybe explore it a little more. Why does it make me feel that way? How might it help me see something differently by seeing things through Jesus' eyes? Because the reality is this: God is always reaching out to you, not only through the things that give you the warm fuzzies, but God can also be speaking to us in the things that make us look askance. Because then throughout it all, Jesus is embracing you. And He's calling you to follow Him. Not only when it's easy to do so, but especially when it is hard. In Jesus' name, amen.